Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the first episode of Roger Reviews here on Movement Radio. I've been giving this one a lot of thought, but I also wanted to give some time for people to go and watch this movie. And the movie we are reviewing today, as you can see in the title, Scream 5, aka Scream 2022. Now, Scream 2022 is different from the other ones as it is a requel. It even says so in the movie itself, they actually play on it. And what I mean by a requel, it is not exactly a reboot, but not exactly a sequel either. With that being said, let's jump into the movie itself. In the opening scene, we get to meet one of our main characters, Tara Carpenter, and is actually different from the other ones because she's a main character, but she's also a victim. She gets attacked by Ghostface. And the other ones, the first victims were always, you know, our first death to open up, show how serious this is. The one thing that really took me out of the scene is that the killer still calls our first victim on a landline. On the rest of the movies, it's always done on the phone. So I think it's actually kind of strange, and I guess it was a homage, kind of throwback thing for the other ones. But Tara doesn't die. I know, spoiler alert, blah, blah, blah. She's actually used as bait to get our other main character, Sam Carpenter, back to Woodsboro. But in this first attack scene, the killer pretends to be Amber, Tara's friend, but also calls them. And one thing I really liked about this scene is that they do this, you know, what's your favorite movie? This, you know, the traditional thing. But Tara says yes, but not, you know, like the ones you'd expect. Her favorite one, she said, was Babadook. Strange, I know, but she says she likes the fact about the horror movies having different messages, you know, instead of just being the slash and guts thing. It really threw me off because I didn't really expect that, but it was a great thing. The killer then asks, you know, if she's seen the stab movies. Tara says yes, but they're not really her thing. Then we get to the guessing games, you know, I'll answer these questions, I'm going to kill you thing. She hangs up the phone. She's texting her friend Amber. And while she's texting her, the message on her phone says, answer the phone. She goes, how do you know this? You know, how do you know my landline's ringing? Then it says, because I'm not Amber. You know, yada, yada. You've seen the trailer, hopefully. Then we get to a cool thing. It's being more modernized in this scene, in this movie, obviously. But she has one of those smart houses situations, you know, where the phone can lock everything, set the alarm, all that stuff. Well, obviously, the killer's attacking her, setting off this stuff back and forth. But the killer also sends her a video of her friend Amber at home saying, you know, if she doesn't get these answers right or she doesn't play the game, Amber's going to be the one attacked. Tara does thing that nobody else does, and she actually grabs a knife from the kitchen, and then she goes, sets out to try to, like, defend Amber, but as soon as she opens the door, there's Ghostface and stabs her. She closes the door, locks it. That's where the tension builds up. This is where we see the smart house lock going back and forth. She's bleeding, trying to, you know, grab her senses, get everything going, and then we see Amber slowly backing up with her back towards the kitchen, rest of the house and everything. And then there's just a little bit of suspense built up, and then she gets snatched up. But the thing is, she's trying to fight back and everything. She does a little good thing, but then she gets thrown to the ground, and the killer does the smartest move in horror movie, and she stomps Tara's ankle and breaks it. Yeah, that's what you do. You stop your victim from running away. Thank you. All the while, the alarms are going off. You can hear sirens in the background come in. The killer goes, pulls up the knife, picks it up, and all we see is like a slash cut. We see scream. Then we go to the next scene where we see Sam out front of her job is some bowling alley. She's taking a pill, and then as this happens, out walks Richie, who is her love interest, her boyfriend. I guess I don't know if they really say it. They say it here and there in passing, because obviously that would be the only sensible thing instead of, oh, the friend I'm sleeping with kind of thing. Richie asks her what she's taking. Sam makes a joke saying, you know, these are Richie's dick pills. Then Richie says, oh, I don't need dick pill. You're the only dick pill I need. Cringe. They both say it, blah, blah, blah. Then Sam gets a call on her phone from Wes Hicks, who is the son of Judy Hicks from Scream 4, which is kind of strange because I don't think in Scream 4 they mentioned her having kids. And also, this kid's in high school. When this happened, universe-wise, the first time we meet Judy was 10 years ago, and she has a high school kid now. So Wes had to be 7 or 8, maybe even 9, when this happened. But whatever. But Wes calls Sam saying, hey, you know, do you remember me? I got something to tell you. Sam's like, okay. And then he tells her Tara was attacked, but she's alive. So Sam tells Richie she has to go back to Woodsboro. Richie's like, okay, I'll tag along with you. You know, I'm not going to just leave you here. She talks to him on the way there about, you know, Woodsboro's history. Has he seen the stab movies? All this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And Richie's like, so we're going to a place that's had multiple killings. And Sam's like, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Richie's like, well, I've never really seen the stab movies. Probably should freshen up on it. Then he, throughout the movie, we see him watching stab movies. They're up to Stab 8, I think, in production of Stab 9 in universe. Things are just going on. We meet a bunch of our other main characters. Wes Hicks, then there's the twins, Mindy and Chad, Meeks Martin. They're actually Randall's niece and nephew, Randall from Scream 1 and 2, played by Jimmy Kennedy. They're the twins. We meet Liv, who is Chad's girlfriend. She's the crazy girlfriend in this one. Wes, obviously, we see him, and they all have this conversation. We see them all gathered out front about this conversation about the attack on Tara outside the school, and police obviously show up, everything like that. It's a good little introduction to our characters for a second. We move on a little bit down the way. We find out that Liv actually had this thing with a guy named Vince who looks like a 80s, like the movie Dazed and Confused, Matthew McConaughey guy, you know, the older guy with the mustache, cool car, hanging around the high school girls. Apparently Liv and this guy Vince have had a thing. Chad doesn't like it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Chad and Liv also talk about not having, you know, sex or anything like that, which is a stereotypical thing, obviously. So obviously you have to have the sexual tension between some of our characters, part of it all. So after this scene, we see Sam and Richie arrive at the hospital, obviously to check up on Tara. The friends, Amber, the twins, Liv, and Wes all come in, and Tara tells everybody, you know, she wants some privacy alone, but obviously tells Sam to stay. She then asks Sam why she came back. You know, she's been gone for so many years. That's one of the plot points, is that Sam actually left after her parents divorced. It's a weak story to sort of give us a reason for this movie and for the next generation of our people, this friends group. But here's the big spoiler. Big spoiler. So Get ready, guys. Sam is actually Billy Loomis's daughter. And she takes her pills because they're anti-hallucinogens because she sees Billy and talks to him. Yeah, I know. I like it. I like having Billy back. It was really cool. But it's him and his... It's him and his appearance in his final... The final scene of Scream 1 where he's all bladed up and everything like that. I don't know how Sam would know that. Maybe from the Stab movies, but I digress. Later that night, the friends group is at a, I guess a bar, maybe bowling alley. I'm not really sure. They're being bothered by the Vince dude, the older looking dude. They get into this, Chad and him getting a verbal disagreement, blah, blah, blah. They get kicked out of the bar after Vince pulls a switchblade on Chad because Chad said he was going to beat him up. And they all get kicked out. First, Vince gets kicked out. Then the friends group gets kicked out, which doesn't make sense because this guy just pulled a knife on them. And the bartender and the barkeep is like, oh, you go too. I know he was about to stab you, but whatever. But then we go to the next scene where Vince is taking a piss on the side of the wall somewhere in the parking lot. His car gets started up. It's another thing that I'd overthought. I looked too deep into when this happened, but the high beams are brought on. The car is revved up, everything like that. So Vince can't see anything. Car keys getting revved up, blah, blah, blah. And he's getting louder. Vince is getting closer to the car, and as soon as he gets to the car, like a split second after he just got revved up, there's nobody in the car. It's just nothingness. Vince reaches into the car and turns off the ignition, stands up, and he's like, huh, strange, which anybody else would, and then, black, jabbed in the throat, which was pretty cool, actually. Like, it's just a simple... A lot of the kills in this movie... I enjoyed because they were different and probably smarter and more accurate of a way it would happen. But yeah, Vince Lurie gets just jabbed in the throat, just falls down, bleeds out, killer runs away. Police are then called to the scene. We go back to the hospital and we see Sam in the cafeteria of the hospital. She gets a phone call. Killer, obviously, haha, blah, blah, blah. Says he knows the secret. Shock. Said he attacked Tara to get her there. Shocked. But then she's like, why don't you come and find me? And he's like, okay, I will. And I say he because the voice is obviously a male. So it's just going to be the thing in my mind playing over and over again. And as soon as she says, come and find me, he pops up behind the door that she just opened in the hospital where there was police at. And then she like dodges him, escapes, blah, 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 runs to Tara's room, says she was attacked. The police go check it. Obviously there's nobody in the cafeteria. Apparently there's no cameras in this hospital either because nobody saw the killer escape or anything. Did they check tapes back? Nothing like that. So Tara's moved on to a private floor where she's going to have extra security. So something like this wouldn't happen again. While this is happening, Sam realizes they have to go to an expert. This is where we meet our first original Dewey. At this point, Dewey's living out in a trailer. He's no longer sheriff of Woodsboro. Really in bad shape. His trailer's a junk. Him and Gail have divorced. We learned throughout the movie what really happened. But he still wakes up early enough to watch Gail on TV on her morning show. That's when Sam and Richie arrive. He tells him he gives him 2 minutes. Then Dewey actually just goes and tells him like the rules of surviving the movie. You know, don't trust nobody. Usually somebody close to you, friend group, blah, blah, blah. Stuff like that. Then they ask Dewey to help them. He's reluctant, obviously, then kicks him out. Dewey then realizes he has to call Sydney, and they haven't talked in a while, blah blah blah. Just quick little banter. Then Dewey's like, "Hey, it's happening again. Just be careful, Sid." Sid is like, "Always." He's like, "You carry a gun on you?" She's like, "Yes, I'm Sidney freaking Prescott." Tells her to stay away. And then he decides to text Gail about the attacks. And then Dewey's like reluctant. Then he decides to get his old sheriff gun out. Then meets, I don't know how he knew, but he meets up with the friends group at the twins' house. In this scene, we're in the house. Mindy is actually like the new Randy, where she's the movie expert. But Dewey, going through experience, talks to the kids about everything, saying that the connection has to do with the history. So with Billy and Stu, obviously, and then the killer and Samantha. And this is where we find out that Mindy believes that the killer is trying to make a reboot sequel to Stab 8. It was the poorest review of the movies, hated amongst the fans. It's this part right here is just a sort of like a haha in the face of how the movie industry's ruined a lot of favorite series, genres, everything like that for true fans, because they don't care about true fans, even though the true fans are what keeps the franchises going. It's pretty much at a, oh, we just got to make it mass populist kind of thing for everybody. There's a lot of movie that we know, series that we know that have done that. And then this one, we realize that the killer is most likely a fan of Stab and he's used Sam and Tara to remake or requel the movie franchise series. Yes, it's a very, very weak reasoning. Sort of like four Scream 4, where they want to do everything live. It was 2011, so start of the internet web stream kind of thing. So at this point, this is all how we get the new people connected with the original three, Sydney, Dewey, and Gale. At this point, we learn that Vince, who was the first true killed victim, is actually Stu Mocker's nephew, Stu being the obviously the co-killer of Scream 1 with Billy. And then right here is where we start doing all the finger pointing and doing all the camera light cuts to people's faces, everything. It could be you, it could be you, you. And this is when everybody, not everybody, sorry. This is when Mindy pretty much says it's obvious who the killer is and it's Sam. She gets angry, storms out, drives away. While she's doing this, she has an argument with Billy in the rearview mirror. She's just gone back saying that she's not a killer, she's not like her father, doesn't want to be blah blah, doesn't want to be here, everything like that. And then Billy's hallucination goes away, and she almost get hit by a car, just sideswiped. Next scene we go to is it's a long scene with a lot of suspense that was wasted. We go to the next scene, which is at Sheriff Hicks' house. Judy's ordering dinner. She hears order like noise in the other room. Gets a knife to start searching the house. I don't know why she doesn't have a gun in every room. Then she finds out that Wes got home, jumpy. She goes to leave. Wes gets in the shower to wait for her, which is dumb on Wes's part because we just had the discussion about, hey, it's one of us. We're all targets. Blah blah blah. I'm gonna stay alone in the shower. And as Judy's driving to go get the food, she gets a call from the killer. Tells Judy that Wes is next. Has she ever seen the movie Psycho? Referencing the killing in the shower. Judy then puts on her sirens, pops a Yui out of nowhere, speeds home. Killer says it's not enough time. He'll be dead before he gets there. And then Judy gets to her house. She goes from the front door. She runs up. And as she's running up to the house, the killer jumps out of some bushes and stabs her multiple times in broad daylight in a suburban neighborhood. And nobody sees shit. And then we jump up to Wes getting out of the shower, getting ready, blah, blah, blah. Here's the front door opens. He walks around the house, and they do these like fake suspense, like jump scare moments where like he'll open a door or like something, or like close it, like it'll pop out, block the camera view from the other side, and you think that when he closes, that's when it happened. But then he goes to the front door because he sees it open. He closes the front door, and that's when he actually gets attacked by the killer. He tries to fight back, but the killer actually gets him, stabs him like right here through the neck, just poof, really good kill. Obviously all the police go to Judy's house because of what happened, and they find out that Judy and Wes have both been killed. News van pulls up, and this is Gail Weathers. She approaches Samantha for information and doesn't know anything. Gail's happy to see Dewey. Dewey's not happy to see her. But she's also upset that he sent her a text about it. Then Dewey sees Gail's camera crew, assumes she's the same Gail because she's here on report, you know, going on. And Gail's there like, no, I didn't want to do this. The news station made me bring these people here. Didn't have a choice. Then Gail says she doesn't write anymore. She doesn't do any more writing. Like, none of that happens. At this point, Sam sees the deputy that was supposed to be guarding Tara is there. This alerts her saying, hey, Tara's alone in the hospital. She gets in her car. Stewie joins her, and they drive off. We go to Tara at the hospital. She hears a noise in the hallway. I think she was watching Dawson's Creek, which was a really cool throwback. It's funny to me. She calls out for somebody. Nobody responds. No police. No nurses. Nobody on this floor. It goes dark. But Tara says, you know, fuck this. I'm going to check this out. She unplugs herself from the machines, the IV, everything. She gets in a wheelchair. Starts looking around. Then Tara hides. Can't remember if it's in a closet or in a room somewhere in the hospital floor. And she tries calling the police. She gets scared. It's Richie walking in, trying to find her, you know, saying Sam called him. But Tara has actually beaten Richie over the head with a phone. She's scared, but she says she ain't afraid to hold his hands. And at this point, Richie's trying to help Tara, obviously, you know, get out of there. But then the killer attacks Richie, smashes him against the wall, cuts his arm. He falls down unconscious. Tara, at this point, has escaped, sort of-ish. She's on a wheelchair. She's rolling. And while Tara's, like, slowly going away, because she had her arm slashed, her legs, obviously, her ankle broken, so she's not moving fast enough. The killer's stalking up behind her. He actually activates a voice modulator on, like, next to the mask, but, like, inside the cowl, I guess. And calls Sam to taunt her. And then Sam's like, not Sam, sorry. Then the killer asks Sam, whose life does she want to spare? Does she want to spare Richie's life or Tara's life? Sam begs the killer, obviously, you know, blah, 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 crying, saying, no, don't do this, whatever. And the killer's like, oh, this is sad, this is disgusting, look at you begging, pleading, blah, blah, blah. And then Sam's like, oh, this was just me buying time. And as soon as she says that, elevator door is open. Dewey comes out with the two piece, pops off, two shots, boom, boom. Killer jumps out of the way. Dewey actually gets in a fight with the killer. They're fighting back and forth, struggling. Another shot goes off. Stu then like kicks the killer into, it's like this little memento thing on the wall, like a little casing. Hits him against that, shoots him three times, boom, boom, boom. So that's all six rounds. Dewey grabs Richie, helps him get up, goes towards Terry and Sam. They get in the elevator. That's when Dewey's realized, like, hey, the killer's still alive because you have to shoot him in the head. That's the thing that they learned in all the other Stab movies. I'm sorry, Scream movies. He then tells the teenagers to keep going. He's got to finish this. He then unloads his gun in a pretty cool way. It's a revolver, so he's only got six shots. So he does the little flick, bullets come out. He's loading up, boom, 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 boom. And as he gets up to the killer, points the gun at the head, his phone rings and it's Gale. And when this happens, Dewey looks down, and as soon as he does, the killer actually walks up, wakes up, and then stabs him in the front. And then pulls another one out, stabs in the back, so he's just like, and then fillets him, saying it's an honor to have done this. And Dewey falls down and dies. Gale arrives at the hospital and realizes that, hey, Dewey's dead. We jump to a little scene later with Gale in the hospital, waiting room crying. Sydney arrives. And then she finds out about Dewey. And this is when Sydney meets up with Sam and Tara. And we actually go to the new hospital room where Tara is high on drugs because she just got attacked and she's in a lot of pain. Richie's just getting bandaged up, blah, blah, blah. They now meet up saying they're going to get out of there. And Sydney tells Sam, hey, you can't, run away from this. Follow you wherever you go, blah blah blah. Sam's like, no, that's your life. This is not my life. I'm not doing this. I'm getting Tara out of here. We're gonna go be safe. And this is when Sydney does something that we didn't really expect. She's like, okay, good luck. And then Sam's like, what do you mean, good luck? That's what she said. She said, good luck. Gail's like, why'd you let them go? Sydney's like, I put a tracker on them. Gail's like, what? And then, Sydney's like, that's a Gale Weather things I did right there. And Gail's like, yeah. But then, as the teenagers are leaving, the teenagers, wow, as Sam, Tara, and Richie are leaving, Tara realizes she does not have an inhaler, left it in the hospital, obviously from the attack. Then she remembers that she has a spare one at Amber's house, which is on the way out of town, sort of. Richie at this point is like, can we go to a drugstore out of town somewhere and do this? Like, he's like, yo, I'm not doing this. I want to get out of town ASAP. Tara's like, no, I need a prescription, which I don't have on me, blah, blah, blah. So then they reluctantly go to Amber's house. And when they get there to Amber's house, there's a party going on. So at this point, it's final scene. Oh, great. It's a party in honor of Wes. Strange, I know. But as usual, get the kids together at the final scene for a party, blah blah blah. When they get there, Amber tells everybody to leave. They're like, haha, no. And then Richie's like, hey, I'm the adult. I don't wanna act like an adult. Gets them all booted out, blah blah blah. So then we just have our remaining main characters, which is the twins, Liv, Richie, Sarah, not Sarah, Tara, Sam, and Amber, and Sydney and Gale, obviously. At this point, we see Amber go downstairs to get beers, reminiscent of the first one where, go downstairs, get the beer, get attacked. Amber opens the fridge door. She closes it. We expect to see, the killer. Nope. Mindy. And then Mindy scares her, saying, oh, it was a mistake for her to go downstairs alone. And Amber's like, why? I could have been killed. Mindy says, you could have been killed. They have a little banter back and forth where they're like drawing suspicion on each other. Mindy's being really weird. Amber's being a little suspicious too. Then we go upstairs to the living room, and Liv and Chad are making out on the couch. Liv tells Chad that she's ready to have sex with him. Chad declines because he's like, I'm not 100% sure that you're not the killer. Liv goes berserk, leaves in frustration. Then a couple seconds later, Chad's sitting there. Minnie comes up. They're talking about it. Chad is texting Liv and tells Chad that she forgives him if she comes meet up with him. Obviously set up a trap. He's like, I can't find you. She's like, you know, do this thing to where you can track my phone, blah, blah, blah. He starts doing it, goes to some bushes across the street. Still doesn't find it suspicious. A little nervous, though. He grabs something out of the yard that was pretty heavy, like a blunt force item, just in case. As he's trying to get away, he goes behind these bushes, and then he's like, nah, I can't do this. As he does this, he gets stabbed into the leg. He tries to fight off the killer. And then he runs behind this shed, but the thing is still beeping, showing that, you know, Liz's phone is getting closer to him. He then, you know, bloodied up, panicking, silenced the phone. He then decides, you know, fuck this, gotta run for it, gotta get back to the house. He makes it past the front of the shed, and when he does, he then gets attacked by the killer, stabbing him like a couple times in the side and in the back. But when this is happening, this is when Sam, Tara, and Richie arrive at the house. The car passes by, shines a light on Ghostface. Ghostface sobs, and then, you know, goes into the dark. Yeah, I said that backwards. Sorry. Sam, Tara, and Richie arrive after the attack. And this is when they tell everybody, you know, get out of here. Amber calls the party off, blah, blah, blah. And then Mindy's in the living room. Liv randomly arrives in the living room. Mindy's like, Chad went out looking for you. She's like, no, blah, blah, blah. They argue. Liv is being really suspicious again, really chaotic, psycho. And she leaves again. Amber takes Tara to get her inhaler upstairs. Obviously, Amber can't really do anything with Tara because she's just slow and decrepit. Richie goes to the basement to get more beers, and this is when he makes a joke saying, oh, see, be right back. The infamous line of in horror movies, if you say you'll be right back, you'll never be back. At this point, Mindy is watching Stab 1, and then, you know, everything's going on. When Sydney and Gail come back and scene, they realize that they end up at Stu Mocker's old house, the scene of the end of the first movie. And then we go back to Mindy. She's watching Stab, and it's the scene where Randy is watching Halloween and tells Jamie, you know, play on words because he's Jamie Kennedy, but telling Jamie Lee Curtis, watch out, he's right behind you, blah, blah, blah. And then it's the same scene where, you know, Ghostface in that movie approaches Randy, but doesn't actually attack Randy. But at this point, Mindy, like, feels off or something. She just, like, sits up, and then she gets attacked. Ghostface tries to stab her. She's able to fight him a little bit, but she still gets stabbed, like, in the shoulder, like, right up here. Really deep cut. And when, as this happens, Sam walks in the room. The killer looks, runs away. Sam is trying to help Mindy, but Mindy's bleeding pretty deep. She's like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is getting really cold. But at this point, Amber and Tara come down the stairs, and Amber accuses Sam of being the killer. Richie arrives as well from the basement, claiming he was, you know, getting the beers. Liv walks in, and they're all arguing. And this is the big climactic reveal. Liv is like, oh, I'm not the killer. And then Liv says, I am not the killer. Amber's like, that's right, because I am. She pulls a gun out of nowhere and shoots Liv right in the head. Which actually took me by surprise, because I didn't expect it to be Amber. Because the thing about Scream movies is that the killer usually has to be somebody who has a lot of, you know, force or, you know, whatever. And Amber's like 100 pounds, 5'4". Obviously, the person who plays the killer, quote unquote, will always just be a generic body shape to, you know, not really let us know who it is, but it's always weird. At this point, everybody splits up. Sydney and Gail arrive at the front. They're hearing screaming. They say, oh, sounds about right. Sydney grabs her gun, gives one to Gail, and they approach the house. And then Amber comes running outside, faking that she was stabbed. Sydney and Gail are like, nah, I ain't buying this, bruh. They know it's a trap. And then Amber shoots Gail. I think she hits her in the stomach, lower stomach, which is sort of like a throwback to Scream 2, where she got shot, where Gail got shot in the rib, and then, you know, bounced off and didn't kill her. Gail tells Sydney she has to go inside and finish this off. Once we get inside the house, Richie and Sam are in the basement. They're hiding, and this is where Richie is like, you know, hey, there's probably two killers. Sam's like, what? You know, he's like, in all the movies, there's two killers. And he's like, I think Tara might be the only killer, because it makes sense, because she was attacked but not killed, and it brought her here. How we know it's not a setup? She's mad enough to have got her here. Sam's like, you know, runs off, whatever, doesn't think about it. She runs around the house. Sam runs around the house. She finds Tara actually tied up in a closet, but she's hesitant to untie her because, you know, Richie just planted that seed in her head. Because Sam's like, maybe she did plan this. Sydney walks in the house and she starts searching. As she's searching, she gets a call from the killer. Saying she's the second killer, this is the second killer, not Amber. Sydney's like, I've seen this before. The killer then says, you haven't seen this movie. And Sydney's like, yes. As she's moving through the house, she's actually shooting into each door she walks by. She finally shoots through one of the closets because she heard somebody in there. She's also like, you know, I'm going to hang up, blah, blah, blah. The killer's like, no, wait, don't hang up. And then shoots in the closet. And actually, there's Richie in there. He's hiding. And then Ghostface attacks Sydney. Well, Sydney has an exchange with Richie. He's like, why did you come out? And he's like, because you're shooting and I'm not trying to die, which makes sense. Ghostface then attacks Sydney, stabs Richie. And as this is happening, he stabs Richie, goes back to Sydney. They knock each other over the banister, land on the floor hard. Sydney is fighting Ghostface. The gun, you know, spills out on the floor. Richie's slowly making his way to downstairs, because obviously, you know, he just got shot and stabbed. He grabs the gun, and then Sam arrives. And Richie's like, oh, thank God you're alive. And that's because, big moment, Richie then says, that's because I wanted to kill you for myself, saying he's the second killer. Ghostface unmasks himself. He sees Amber. We find out Amber and Richie are really big fans of Stab series, and they wanted to do the big, oh, make our own movie because the last one sucks. Movie studios don't know what to do. Then at this point, Samantha and Sydney get walked into the kitchen, just like how Billy and Stu obviously did back in the day. Amber grabs Gail, puts her in the kitchen too. And then Amber reveals how she found out about Sam's past, which is really kind of a stupid reason, because she said, because it's a small town and your mom's also a drunk, referring to Sam and Tara's mom, who they wrote off. They didn't even really show her in the movie at all. They said that she was in some conference in London, but she beat her as soon as she could. Never shows up in the, like, 2 or 3 days that this is happening. And then they're trying to make the new movie in which Sam comes back as a killer to seek justice for her father, attacking everybody she knows, bringing back the originals and killing the originals. And obviously Amber and Richie will be the heroes. Richie then tells Amber to go get Tara. Tara's not there. Sam's like, yeah, I did untie her. Amber calls the same way Sydney did in the first movie. She makes the taunting call, blah, blah, blah. Amber is actually looking around for Tara. Tara jumps out, attacks her. Samantha then fights Richie. Amber returns to the kitchen. Sydney and Gail gang up on her. Amber then, like, pleads for life, saying, oh, you know, it's an act, blah, blah, blah. But it's time for Sydney and Gail to pass the torch. Amber then, like, super disrespects Gail by saying, you know, I enjoyed killing Dewey, it was great, blah, blah, blah. Sydney turns on the stove, Gail does the honor, she shoots Amber twice or three times, and then Amber falls on the stove and set on fire. We get back to the main hall where Sam is fighting Richie, who reveals he knew about her all along. Dewey was right. He called it on the first shot that, you know, it's the boyfriend. Don't always suspect him, you know, blah, blah, blah kind of thing. Then Richie is, I believe, choking. I can't remember exactly, but he's choking Sam at this point. And then she's looking up and she sees another hallucination of Billy in the mirror. And then she says she came up with a new rule to the killer series or the survivor serial killer thing. And Richie's like, oh, really? What's that? And she's like, never mess with the daughter of a serial killer. She stabs him, I think first through the face, through the cheek, which is really cool. Turns around and she just starts going at it. Pop, pop, bam, 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 bam. And then Richie's like, oh, how's mine going to be, blah, blah. She then slits his throat, bleeds out. Then Sydney, oh, you know, warns her, oh, the killer always comes back. So Sam shoots Richie three times, I think twice in the chest, one in the head. And at this point, Amber, whose face is burnt up, runs out of the kitchen after being shot and burnt. And then they shoot her down, obviously. But boom, who cares? Actually, Tara shoots her in the side of the head, I believe. She's dead. Then Tara says, this is why I like Bob Duke better. Then at this point, we go outside on the final scene. And then we see Tara, Mindy, and Chad are all alive. Mindy got stabbed in the shoulder, it's fine, but Chad got stabbed like in the leg and in the back and the side and everything, but he's got the, you know, he's the stabbed victim, and then we have our three new people, I guess, Tara, Mindy, and, no, four people, sorry, because I forgot. Mindy will be playing the role of, will be Randy. Chad would be Dewey. Tara, I guess, would be Tara and Sam both play Sydney and Gail at the same time. At this point, we get to the, they see they're going to the hospital. Sam and talks to Gail and Sydney, thanks for them for the help before leaving with Tara. Then at this point we see Gail and Sydney mourning Dewey. Gail says she's not going to write about the killers. They deserve to die in anonymity or obscurity, one of the two big words. She then writes a touching tribute about Dewey, you know, talks about who he was. Then all the news report, we see the new news reporters, they're all talking about the attacks and everything like that going on. Movie ends. So I give this movie an 8, no, a 7.5 out of 10. I just didn't like the motive, and just a lot of them scenes were just drawn out with the fake suspension of the jump scare attack thing. Happened a couple times. Also, the sheriff of the town being killed in broad daylight in front of her house in a suburban area just like threw me out. But other than that, it's really good. I rate it better than Scream 3, which I think is the worst one. I put it slightly below Scream 4, which I really liked because it was a new spin and it's sort of cohesive, sort of, not really. But thank you guys for listening to this. This is my first one. Please tell me what you like, what you didn't like. I know I gotta improve on this, probably do a better structure overall, but thank you for listening. This has been Roger Reviews.